Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal here, spaghetti and meatballs behind the glass. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess from the L Camp facility.
From the new hit podcast, Megan Fun of Sports, we have Megan Connolly and Megan Galley coming on. That's going to be fun. We're going to talk some football, baseball, basketball. Really heating up in October.
And joining me as always, my dear pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss. And, you know, I say it with a heavy heart, Martin. I'm glad we're here. I'm always glad we're here together, but I'm glad, extra glad we're here together today because I was worried about you, Martin, being alone after suffering one of the worst bed aches of the year. Maybe you could take everyone through it. First of all, say your name, why you're here. No.
So, and I'd also like you to go with Marty going forward.
Can't do it.
He may have to change his name after can't this one. Do it.
And start smoking cigars and I wearing a fedora.
I tell you what.
Marty Weiss.
I made a mistake, first of all.
Okay.
And I went out to dinner at 7:30. Right? So I'm watching. I'm getting the app notifications on my phone. I completely forgot the NBA started when I made these reservations. Mm. I just would have made them for tomorrow. But anyway, so as I leave the house...
You can wait a full day to eat? That's pretty good. I would not be able to do that. But what was your
I'm a man of impressive feats.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting
was
there.
Was it a date?
No, but I was taking a friend out for her birthday. Mm-hmm. Right? So I see it's 2-2 in the top of the ninth.
Tell everybody outs. What your bet is. And,
yeah. Oh, good point. I have under 10. I have
sounds
under
like
10
a terrible
runs.
NBA game.
Right. I have under 10 runs in the Astros-Red Sox game. I also had the Nets winning, and so as that game's over, I'm like, all right, that's out. But you know what? At least I have this on the way.
Right.
I flip my phone over at 2-2 with two outs in the top of the ninth, and then I flip my phone back over 30 minutes later to check the Lakers score because I'd also bet Lakers 3.5, right? Anybody who saw my video on Twitter yesterday knows I went 0-2 there. It was a great day all around. So I flip my phone over. I see the Lakers are not only down, but somehow – It's like I'm watching the push notifications come and go 7-2, 8-2. I'm just like 5-2, 6-2, 7. I'm like, well, how? Yeah. How does this keep happening? And I slam the table down and I'm like, what?
Like it's a garbage can or something. Yeah. That's an Astros joke.
I got it.
Okay.
But I slam the table, I'm like, hit him with it. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Right, so now everybody in the restaurant is looking at me.
Yeah, the waiters are huddling together. What are we going to do with this guy?
I look over, and I recognize the guy next to me, and I realize that it's now I can't remember his name, but it's the same guy who played. He was the Johnny Cocker, but he was in O.J. Simpson. He's in This Is Us. He has a middle initial. Sterling K. Brown. Thank you. Sterling K. Brown is sitting at the table next to me, and I look at him, and I'm just like, tough day. And I look back, and he's like, and the girl sitting across from him was just like, you got to be kidding me. What are you yelling about? And so.
But it's Sterling K. Did he pick up your tab at least? Did
absolutely
you see the anguish
not.
In
nobody
your face?
Nobody picked up the tab but me.
Man.
I just had a very expensive day yesterday.
I'll say this about you. I commented on Twitter that I'm both very proud and disappointed in you. But first of all, that why did you like the – you had the right side. You did. But why did you like the under? Coming off grand slams and first and second inning, and those games are 5.5 hours, and everyone's ace is knocked out. And what'd you love about
the
under?
You know what I loved about the under? Yeah. I love the fact that everybody who I know that bets baseball telling me to bet. No, everybody was telling me to bet the under. Like all of my friends who are good at betting baseball were like, yo, bet the under, bet the under. And I wanted to be an active participant in this podcast where y'all are talking about baseball. And now here we are. So I guess I got what I wanted.
It's bad. Greinke was bad against the Red Sox to begin with, but held his own. And here's the thing with this series now, which is 2-2.
That was a strike. I'm sorry. I didn't even see it. I was out to dinner. I get home, wake up the next morning. And it's like, that was a strike. The inning was over.
It is good that you didn't watch pitch by pitch because it was infuriating. You have to see these balls being called strikes and strikes being called balls and doubles in the gap and everything else. So you missed out on that being out to dinner. But this is a weird series now because you take a chance check with Eovaldi, who was the only – he's their ace, right? It's not Sale anymore. So if you put him in the eighth and it's lights out and they win the game, great. But if he's exposed, that shifts the whole momentum of the series. Maybe I'm wrong, but very, very big risk there for the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's worth noting what we said last week before the series got going. There's no one to root for here. And that's where wagering becomes advantageous, Marty Weiss's sad tale notwithstanding, because it makes you interested in a series that has no one to root for otherwise. But yeah, I'll stick with the Astros there. I like the, you know, their pitching ultimately is superior to what the Red Sox are. I think that they'll get two more here before the Red Sox do, so I'll stick with that.
Game five is it's an afternoon affair, so it might be starting or over by the time you're listening to us. Now, don't take the under here. Don't do it, Martin. Valdez got smoked, and his start sale is unreliable. The over-under is 9.5. The Red Sox are a slight favorite on FanDuel Sportsbook.com and minus 122 Red Sox. The other thing is, man, I'm mad we didn't go to that Dodgers game. I saw our friends Mr. Porky and the Beast. They went.
They did.
They went. They took pictures. Mr. Porky had to go to the bathroom at a Whole Foods in Echo Park or something before. There was a big thing. Great story. The Beast, a little reckless. Anyway, Bellinger hits the home run. He celebrates. And the story goes his hand gets hooked. He's like high-fiving, but gets hooked on a guy with braces. And his finger gets stuck in the guy's braces. And Mr. Porky said, he's like, you know what? I felt bad for him because that was a filthy mouth, but also I've known when the Beast's hands have been. So that was that. But anyway, no one cares about the Beast. The Beast in this game was Bellinger, 3-run homer, struggling the whole season, comes back. And
yeah,
now
clutch,
the Dodgers.
Now a couple games in a row, right? Or two out of three.
2-1 now. Braves have not named the starter yet. Big underdog, Urias, minus 220 favorite. Can they come back? Is this another Atlanta tragedy? Is this another collapse for Atlanta?
I'm not going to weigh in on the 21st century phenomenon of fans wringing their hands about ratings. But if the Braves do get to the World Series, that is really crummy for the network.
It's a bulletproof World Series if the Dodgers get there.
Right.
Yeah.
If the Dodgers get there, it's juicy stuff. Yeah. If it's the Braves, it's going to be a big ho-hum. It's funny, too, that over the course of the game, our mutual pal, Sherapin, who posts all the odds as games are ongoing, did you see the swing in Dodgers' odds to win the World Series within the course of those nine innings?
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. It went from about plus 200 to plus 850 and then back down to under 200.
Yeah, for a minute there, the Red Sox and Braves were co-favorites to win the World Series. But the Dodgers have been favored all year. The Dodgers were favored going into a one-game elimination, wild card game. So they were still favored. So it makes sense that Vegas and FanDuel are still in love with them. But
Urias, he hasn't pitched well in this postseason, but I'll take him. I'll ride him and say that that's going to end up working out, despite the fact that he looks – we haven't talked nearly enough about his appearance. He really looks a lot like Chris Sabo.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he?
Like the goggles? Yeah, that's a fun
one.
Who's
the nerdiest looking legend?
Rodrigo
Blankenship is in the conversation. Bob Greasy, of course, with his four eyes leading back-to-back Super Bowl
this
titles.
This is going to date us a while, but didn't Boog Powell, for just a hulking figure, have some weird eye attire? I don't remember. I forgot Boog Powell.
Your guy Rusty Staub was a slob.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you just meant glasses-wise. Okay. Martin, what did who do you see on the field in any of the sports? Trying to think.
Rusty Staub went to the same high school I did in New Orleans.
Did he really?
Yes. How about that?
Nice.
But I wasn't prepared for the dork conversation. I can't think of. Rodrigo Blankenship is a good one, because while he may not be an NFL legend, he's made some pretty big kicks in college.
Yeah, he did.
About Case Keenum? He's got to be in the conversation too.
That's a good one too. Case Keenum, starter for Thursday night game. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I want to just close the door. I'll say Dodgers -1.5 even odds. I think this is a game that is not close. It's going to be different from the previous three, and they get out early. I mean, the Braves haven't announced a starter. Like I said, things come back to normal. Then it's 2-2, game five, and Chavez Ravine. Now, Martin, I know you lost money. This is a good way, good safe way. You won't have to lose any money. Go to extrapoints.com/arcade. The winners from week six, college pick'em winner Jonathan Harte, H-A-R-T-E. If it's hard, just drop the E, Jonathan. Come on, make everyone's life easier. 12 out of 14, good job by you. You win the pick'em contest. NFL prop quiz winner Con Guven, 7 out of 10. NFL pick'em, 4 entries go to tiebreaker, 11 each. Alex Fisher, Luke Pasdernick, Zachary Heumann, and Bryce Hartzell. So there you go. Keep that up. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. We got that. That's up right now for week 7. What do we want to do? NBA or NFL here?
I want to ask Damashek a question real quick.
Do you
have a list of like your top 5 nerdiest athletes?
No, but inspired by the conversation today, I might have to put one together.
It's pretty good.
Do you have anybody to throw out there?
I may.
Nerdiest
me a minute, but
on the inside or just
Because Tiger's pretty nerdy.
Yeah,
but looking at him, it's fine, normal, right? But then
I think that's where I'm drawing the line. Like Rodrigo Blankenship looks like he got straight A's all through school, right? Mm-hmm. That's the essence of what you were getting at here, right?
Yeah, Tim Tebow presents as pretty nerdy too, in my opinion.
Kareem looks wise, right? If you just saw that guy,
he had the big goggles. Yeah, and yeah. Antoine Carr for the Jazz and otherwise, he had like what appeared to be, they weren't goggles. They looked like he was just wearing glasses playing in an NBA game.
I got AC Green. AC Green should be on the list.
Yeah. That's a whole different list altogether.
That was a courageous stand he took.
That's right.
The Showtime Lakers.
You look at Super 70s, one of our favorite Twitter, and he'll feature baseball cards from the 70s, and every baseball player looked like a complete nerd there. They were right there.
Or they looked like Gorman Thomas, which, by the way, people are taking shots at me on social media now. Somebody called me Mr. Pringles because of my mustache. I look much closer. Not to be laughed at, Marty Weiss.
See, I'm glad we could turn it around for Martin. He's in a good mood now.
I look much more like Gorman Thomas on the Brew Crew circa 1982 or one of Wyatt Earp's deputies. I don't look anything like Mr. Pringles.
Interesting. All right.
Shame on you.
We're going to have to come up with a Photoshop to
Well done, timeline. Well done.
Hey, the top four teams in the NBA, odds-wise, were in action last night. Lakers, Warriors, Bucks, Nets, and nothing changed. Nothing changed on FanDuel Sportsbook, except the Lakers lost to the Warriors 121-114. The Bucks beat up on the Nets 127-104. Guys, we could argue, but Giannis is the MVP so far. He just is. Come on. I don't want to hear it. How early is too early to talk about this?
No, it absolutely. I mean, you see it on TV right now, but there's more people giving their predictions. My prediction was KD was going to win the MVP, but now I don't know.
Don't fail. You were out to dinner. You didn't even see him play.
No, I actually caught this entire game.
He came back. They took him out, didn't they?
Took him out with 14 minutes left in a 14-point game. I don't know how much NBA Steve Nash has watched over the last couple of years.
Not a lot.
But if you've been betting on these, you'll know 14 points in 4 minutes is nothing.
Right.
It's nothing. And you got Kevin Durant, James Harden out there. KD hit back-to-back jumpers, and he pulls them.
Yeah. Maybe KD or maybe Steve Nash noticed that the games he watches often don't involve Kevin Durant's team or Kevin Durant on Kevin Durant's teams.
Right.
Maybe that's the problem.
It's a long haul, Marty.
I understand that it's a long haul, but –
This is it. It's over.
If the Nets
win a game, I'd be shocked.
Not to be overdramatic, right? But this is Milwaukee. You've assumed that Brooklyn and Milwaukee will be at the top of the Eastern Conference seedings all year. To just punt a game.
Are you really having this conversation after one game now?
No, because look.
We're going to look back in the standings of that one.
But last year in the playoffs, it was one game difference between Milwaukee. Look, you want to talk about the wild card in the baseball playoffs? One game matters.
Yeah.
All right, but last year in the playoffs, it was one game between Philly and Brooklyn for the one seed, and they rested their starters against Philly on April 14th, lost by six.
Oh, stop it.
That's why they had to play Milwaukee in the playoffs.
Drop a pin here, Martin. We'll remember this moment. Could mean something. It could potentially mean
there's
something.
There's a new one from Marty Weiss's lexicon to do. I'm just saying.
That's a Harry thing, too. I can't stand it. He'll say something ridiculous, and they say, I'm just saying. I'm like, yeah, we wish you weren't saying it. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm not saying Steve Nash is done, don't know what to do, the Nets are done or cooked or whatever, but it's just on day one of the season to just punt the game with 4 minutes left. It's mind-boggling.
They don't even punt my basketball. You have no idea what you're talking about.
See, you say Steve Nash doesn't know basketball. You're talking about punting. I'll say this. We put up a poll. Babyface Joel Solomon had the good idea. What will happen first? Ben Simmons takes a shot or Kyrie Irving gets a shot? Now, Kyrie missed, maybe sorely missed. This is a landslide, right? Kyrie's not getting the shot, Babyface? What did it say?
lot of voting, almost 5,000 votes. Ben Simmons takes a shot, 72%, which is a lot higher than his field goal percentage. Kyrie Irving gets the shot, 28%.
I love it. I love that 5,000 people took time to vote on this nonsensical query here. Yeah, so I don't know if the net, how much the Nets miss Kyrie, if he's coming back. The Ben Simmons thing is great. For us, I don't know. Shaq, you had an idea for Ben Simmons.
Well, this is owed to my own experience. Mm-hmm. And when I was in high school as the 13th man on a 12-man basketball team, we would, my pals and I...
The manager?
We would... There were some actual games. There were some actual minutes for Damashek. Not many.
Were you the type of player that when you scored, everybody on the bench clapped?
I have a number of stories. Everyone,
no, he was the only one in the gym.
I have a number of stories. No, I mean, to answer your question, yeah, I didn't know. There's a Thon Maker. No, it's not Thon Maker. Who's the 7'6" guy on the Celtics?
Oh,
Taco Fall.
Taco, right, yeah. There's a thing on Gumbel's show on HBO about him that he didn't realize that when the MSG crowd was chanting and for him to go into the game that they were, in fact, mocking him. In the moment, right, he didn't really sense that. Yeah. Same thing for Damashek. Mm. When my classmates would be like, put in Shaq, and when my teammates would come over and they'd be like, come on, coach, put in Shaq. They were doing that for an opportunity to laugh at Dave.
Right.
You know, I didn't know that in the moment. I was like, that's really nice of you. Thank you, starters. Anyhow.
I mean, we do the same thing, asking on your Ben Simmons take, but right. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So put in check.
We would, on Friday nights, we would start the weekend. We would, there was a drive-through booze place in Swissvale, which Joel would know as a Pittsburgher. Mm-hmm. You could drive through and they would just, no questions asked. They would just put a case of beer in your trunk and you would drive off, you know, 17 years
old. Not even where's the money, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah, there was that requirement. And so we would do pretty much every weekend like that, and there would be some leftover sometimes. And so my pal Richie and I, who was the 12th man on that 12-man team, and I would, before Monday practices, we would finish off whatever was left over before practice. We had that, you know, hour and a half in between classes ending and basketball practice starting. So we'd have a couple, and at 17, we were loaded. I mean, we had a beer and a half. We were in the bag, but good. And as a result, the coach wouldn't let us get our reps. You know, he wouldn't put us out on the floor very often for that. That's how you do it, Ben Simmons. Just have a couple of belts to you. Then the coach ain't going to put you in there. Also.
Yeah. I don't even think he needs to do that. I mean, what's he been fined? $1.4 million now.
Yeah,
already?
I mean, I think he's good just walking around with the phone in his
pocket.
He
can do whatever he wants.
That's getting the job done.
Postscript. One time we had a case of beer in the trunk. And
you're drunk now? What?
A little.
Yeah.
I had a case of beer in the trunk, and one of the parents found it. Without telling us, and we went back into the car the following weekend to get those beers out, and they had replaced all the beers with Coca-Colas. Mo Damashek thought that was hysterical.
I was hoping, that is very funny, but I was hoping you said they replaced it with our fantasy trophy, which you also said you lost in the trunk of a car. But all right, that's a different story, different time. All right.
Let me tell you about the story. Someday I'll tell you about my last game in high school. Also, I'll tell you about the game we played against the Pittsburgh.
You're screwed now, Martin.
You would maybe wish you were deaf by the time I'm done with this story, but yes. Martin, good times ahead for you.
The biggest exaggeration or overreaction to NBA opening night, aside from yours, being that the Bucks are going to get the one seed because of that, which I could see. It could potentially come down to it. But Russell Westbrook is done. Everyone says he's done. Now, he did have statistically the worst half of his career based on playing 18 minutes or more or something crazy. And that first half, and they were still winning the Lakers by 6, I believe, in the first half. But I have Russ. That was my big, big bet for him to lead in average assist per game at 10-1 odds, and it didn't look good. I think he had more turnovers than assists. Not a Russell Westbrook type game.
No, but Russ always, like at least the last couple years, has gotten off to a slow start to start the season. Like last year in Washington, he was off to a real slow start, and then obviously it was weird with the COVID and all that. But I wouldn't be overly concerned about Russell Westbrook going forward. Like, given, like, if it still looks like this, like, 15 games from now, I'd be worried about it. But, like, just in retrospect, I bet on the Lakers last night, and listening to their post game, I was like, why would I ever do this? LeBron is like, you know what? I told Russ, go home, watch a comedy movie. You know, Anthony Davis, oh, it's no big deal. They're not worried about game 1, 2, and 3. But I do think they'll come together.
You look at the numbers, and one scores 33, and the other scores 34, and they lose to the Warriors. And Steph Curry, who made 5 shots from the field, it's like, oh, boy, that's a problem. Curry, by the way, I have him for MVP, 8-1. He was 5-for-21, but with a triple-double.
Man, you're off to a great start.
I know. What the hell's going on? Triple-double, though. I don't know.
Russ is, though. I have to say, Marty.
That's got to stop.
The Marty stuff,
just
right?
Just getting it going. Russ... It's not like you can just paint every guy at a certain age with the same brush and say, like, well, other guys. He is speed dependent. You know, he is not a guy who's going to age like a fine wine. And I think, in fact, it's remarkable. It seems like 8 years ago, at least at this point, maybe even more than that, that Russ was being like, he and Derrick Rose, man, that the style of their ball and they're kind of brittle and the way they're built, they're not going to hold up for long. Russell Westbrook has been great for a long time now. At some point, he's going to slow down and his game is going to go with it.
If he slows down to everybody else, he's still ahead, right? Like, he was just such a force. And I don't know. That's got to work. That offense has to work. At some point in some
Chaz Barkley said it best. I mean, it's all about Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis 4 years ago was collectively, I think everybody this side of LeBron or KD was like, well, Anthony Davis is the next in line to be the greatest player in the league. It's time. I mean, brittle. He's got to take over the team. Know, even with the star power around him, he's got to be the number one.
So
guy
brittle. I mean, I think he's closer to a convalescent home than he is an MVP award.
He's got to change his outfit, too. Does white, the white.
Too nerdy?
Yeah, nerdy. The white pant, the white things underneath and the white sleeves. Doesn't look
I right. will say, not a fan of short sleeves on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Doesn't look right. But with his shoulders, I think it works, too. He's just built so differently. All right. Well, good thing we're perfect, though, right? We can take shots at everyone. Also, NBA revealed the first 25 names of this list of 75 greatest players. Did you guys check this list out?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pretend to have seen Bob Cousy and Willis Reed and some of the – I mean, Bill Russell's amongst the greats, obviously, Oscar Robertson.
I finally beat it out of him. Now you got to talk to your pals about the same phenomenon of getting – of pounding the table for guys that you never saw.
I'm never going to pound the table, but I could just – because there's so many highlights on the guys we've seen, right, and so many memories. The one that – sticks out, and by the way, they should just say, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. There's too much infighting with this list of 75. Here's 25 we're not going to do anymore. Kevin McHale, I don't know. I don't love him. Maybe it's my anti-Boston thing. Probably if it were up to me, Larry Bird would still be waiting for an invite from Springfield. But first team once in his career, you know, 31 minutes. He's great sixth man on a great team that won final, you know, they did well in the final. I'm not a Kevin McHale guy. Anyone jump out at you?
That's a great note. I looked it over, but good. I thought, and then you float that one, and I'm like, now you do make me think. Another one is Dave Cowens, and maybe
did he play for the Celtics? I'll pick him too if he played for the Celtics.
He did. Tiny Archibald did. The answer to the most basic of trivia questions, the only guy to lead the league in scoring and assists in the same season. Nate Archibald did
Is it Tiny? Yeah.
I think it was with the Braves he did that, Buffalo Braves. The one that leads it, and it's a requirement that he be on there. But I do kind of, and, you know, I'm an old.
Say Cousy, go ahead.
No, it's the Bill Russell thing. It's the celebration of the 60 Celtics.
But he's got to be.
I know he has to be, but I do have to take the opportunity when I see his name floated to remind everybody. The NBA is a relatively new, just as the 58 NFL championship made pro football relevant, the NBA wasn't really, you know, a varsity league at that point. I mean, Bill Russell was in a league with 7 other teams. They played best of 3 series in the late 50s to get you had to win 6 games, maybe nine games to win the title. The standard was completely different. The competition was much less.
But
it's a little bit much when it's like Bill Russell. Shaq would really well. Bill Russell. Good luck against Bill Russell.
Some interesting takes today. But he was dominant on the floor. To me, like the dominant guys down low in the 50s will get more respect out of me than a Bob Cousy. Right? Would get eaten up. Most errors.
But also, sure. To your point, it's like the playing field was level for all the other players, right? Like, everybody else only played best of three series at that time, and everybody else only had to win six or
nine. He made the most of it.
Games. Like, he just beat who was in front of him.
Yeah.
But the lack of popularity, the lack of popularity of pro basketball in that moment was, I mean, people at Boston Garden weren't going out to see the Celts play. They were going out to see the Bruins play to give you a sense of the era there. It was a minor league, essentially.
Mark,
and people now,
guy.
In hindsight, celebrate the great Celtics as though, because Bill Russell did well-ish against Will Chamberlain, that's a little overstated, too. But
all right, but Russell over McHale, for God's sakes. Right,
right. I'm sorry. Right. I like to get up on my soapbox about that.
Martin, anybody? I mean, these are very old players on this list for
Bill
you.
Bill Russell's a great human being, make no mistake about
that.
Oh,
no, no. See, that's where I think... What do you think? I don't know.
I am happy to see Giannis. He's a great player, but outside of those two
What's
MVPs,
going on? Eliminated the Nets from playoff contention yesterday. Now you're saying Giannis shouldn't be on the list?
No, I'm not saying that. I don't think of when I see Giannis. Maybe it's because I feel like he has so much more of his career to go. But not to say that he shouldn't be here. Of all
it's early to put him on.
Yeah, he stands out to me.
Though. Okay.
I don't have any overarching problem with anybody on this list.
I like how Marty Weiss maybe needs to get in the Wayback Machine and get one of those old broadcaster voices. I don't know about this Giannis fella.
You mean your voice? He should get your voice.
This Giannis fella's been here for 3 minutes now. I've got to see him all. Bob Pettit, now that was a ball player.
Well, I think you're saying if Giannis' career was cut short today, does he make this list?
I think the title absolutely gives it to him. Mm-hmm. But it would be Giannis and Steve Nash would be the ones that I would be like, that's interesting.
Right.
But Giannis will be on this list because he's going to average 35 this year and have another playoff run.
Babyface, you're busting out here. I think you want to join this conversation. No? You don't like anything.
Listen, I want no part of this. As long as Dolph Shay still makes this cut, I'll be happy. But yeah, well, you guys are just taking off MVPs. Steve Nash, Giannis, jeez. What do you have to do?
No, Giannis is on the list. He's on the list.
You asked me who stood out of this. I would rather say nobody.
Okay.
All right, Lou Williams. We'll put Lou Williams.
Can I tell you one that now that you mention it?
Yeah.
Steve Nash is. I know he has those MVPs, but
he's a top four point guard. Look at the numbers. Yeah. Look at everything he did.
I guess. It feels like these are the 25 that are bulletproof. These are the guys that definitely are in there. We have to wait for the other 50, but these
I guess
are the
we
guys.
Have to see. Yeah, we'll have to see the full list to evaluate. I think they should have added like a Jack Haley in there just to see if anyone's paying attention. And that's something that Jack Haley was on a roster just because he knew how to control Dennis Rodman. It's like, he's Dennis Rodman's friend. Like, this is you get a plus one. It's not a 53-man roster, right? How many guys on a basketball team? 11, 15, less?
13.
Yeah. All right, you get a plus one. What?
Dave, how many were? 13, right?
Right. 14th? Right. That's a check. I mean, this is like, honestly, if you were friends with Rodman and they brought you on, and that was it. It's like, yeah, we were going to have beers in the back of the trunk. There you go. All right, so clearly basketball season's back, and there's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel Sportsbook. Celebrate NBA tip-off. FanDuel Sportsbook's giving new customers enhanced odds. That's right. Get 75-1 odds on any team to win today's game. The full slate today. Hey, do it. Here's the thing. Here's what you do, Shaq, Martin. Jazz home over the Thunder, normally -900. Bang, you got it, 75-1. You'll get it right there. FanDuel Sportsbook, easy to use, fast withdrawals, odds boost and specials, and you can live bet. Oh, so much fun to do that. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code EXTRAPOINTS to get 75-1 odds on any team to win today. Promo code EXTRAPOINTS. Make every moment more this NBA season. And FanDuel now live in Connecticut. Yes, do it. Connecticut, a lot of fun. Same game parlay options. We love Connecticut. Martin, have you spent time in Connecticut?
No.
You weren't a Sports Center? You must have lied on your resume. You said you were a Sports Center anchor.
Never made it out to Bristol.
Oh, all right. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-800-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan, and the Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. Make every moment more this NBA season. All right. Oh, we have
the Jazz, Thunder, Bang. You got into the spirit there with the Bang. Why isn't there an NBA team or NHL
the
team
Bangs?
Named Bang yet? That's got to be be next up there, right?
That's true. That's very true. Thursday night, boy, this game is moving. Maybe not be competitive game now with all the injuries. I'm really selling it for Fox. I give my Thursday night pick. I'm going for 12 in a row. Not an easy one. Injuries all over the place, like I said. Case Keenum now starting.
I can't believe Sal's taking the Browns, but he is. He just told you that. If you were listening closely, that's who he's taking.
I don't know. Bridgewater.
Well, I know. I'm probable. Just saying. I know you're not
you
allowed to say, but I know you're taking
you know
the
I'm
Browns.
Taking the Browns?
Based on what you just said, yeah.
Let's bet $8,000. Now, I'm looking to increase my streak to 12 in a row. 155-1 odds right now is where we're at for picking just straight up winners. Browns, Sheck, Martin, were 6 before they played Sunday. I saw the look ahead line. Before they played Sunday, these two teams, the Browns were a 6-point favorite. Now everybody's injured, right? Chubb is out. He didn't play Sunday anyway. Hunt is out. Baker is out. I think
we
they anticipated Baker being out, right? The tackles are in trouble. So it went down to 3 because I think they anticipated Case Keenum starting. But now it's 2, Martin. 2 and 41
now.
Well,
wait. Just to jazz it up a little bit more, mm-hmm. Bang, Teddy Bridgewater also a little
yep.
hobbled. He's
yes.
going to play.
Foot injury.
See, but.
I think he's going to play. and by the way, Von Miller, I don't know if this helps you. He doesn't know who the Browns tackle he's going against is, but he's going to kill him, he says. And so I think this guy should not identify himself until maybe he'll get lucky and it'll be a case of mistaken identity and he'll kill the guard by accident. But where are you going, Martin? Browns minus 2.
Honestly, this side is disgusting. Like, I don't like either team, honestly. Mm-hmm. I thought the Browns were supposed to show – the Browns were supposed to come out last week and show me how, like, this was going to be. They were going to mm-hmm. take off and so on. So they just absolutely didn't. And without the tackles – honestly, I don't think that missing Baker is the biggest mm-hmm. issue in the world. I don't think, like, Case Keenum in a spot start's not the end of the world. But without those two tackles, without the running backs, but am I really about to bet on the Broncos? So my pick would be OBJ anytime touchdown plus 170.
Oh, does any time count for, like, next year or something? Like, if he plays? Like, is any? It's got to be this game.
No, but do you think – yeah, no, I get that, but
careful
think
betting that one. We don't know 100% that OBJ's in the
He's
game.
Another one. Well, you'll get your money back at least. I mean, Martin's just looking to get his money back at this point. If he doesn't play, you'll get it back. Thank so that's good. That's a
but
positive.
I do think if OBJ goes, okay. I can just see on Friday everybody talking about how – look at Odell Beckham with Case Keenum.
Right.
He's better without Baker. Baker's better without him. Break it up in Cleveland.
Yeah. Shaq,
I don't know whose voice that was supposed to be.
That was you again, Shaq. There you go.
I don't know, that might have been Matt Money Smith doing Eddie Spaghetti.
It's very confusing. Speaking of Eddie Spaghetti, he said on Monday's minus 3, mm-hmm. and I was – immediately pretty cynical about it. He started to go down the path where I could tell he was about to say he thought the Denver Broncos were going to win the game. And I started laughing at how ridiculous
Why?
That was.
It's basically a coin flip.
Well, now it is. Now I've come around. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the Browns, though. I think Case Keenum is a better option than a one-armed, even though it's not his throwing shoulder, one-armed Baker Mayfield, who, you know, all the genuflection to his toughness and all of that deserved for wanting to go. But, I mean, at some point, he's a human being. He's got to be nervous as hell that Von Miller or otherwise is going to belt him. But good. Give me Case Keenum. It is the thing that goes on all the time. Backup quarterbacks mm-hmm. can get it done in a limited window. It is once defenses see what that guy wants to do in that offense. Defensive coordinators figure out after 60 or 120 minutes or thereabouts, oh, that's what he's doing. Let's take that away from him and connect backup QB adjust generally. No, is the answer. I'm taking the Browns despite the deficiencies.
You're saying this is a Geno Smith type situation where he's going to get a couple good drives, get a couple good reps. Brother Bri from Against All Odds theorizes that Case Keenum is Baker Mayfield without the extra shoulder pads, extra big. So
I don't hate that take.
No.
I wonder too, will they, because it's, you know, I've been down this path before with, you know, some of my favorite guys on my favorite teams being in commercials. But when your team has lost a playoff game or is injured for the rest of the year, but they continue to run the national spots featuring that guy, it gets vexing. Like, don't show, like the Aaron Rodgers emo guitar player ad when there was a lot of intrigue about whether or not he was going to show up, I'd be like, that's the last thing I want to see as a Packers fan is him acting, doing his hilarious bits.
Right.
But, you know, do they have to impose Case Keenum's face over, over Baker in those ads? This will be
4 in a row they lost if they lose the Browns.
Is that right?
I think. Is it 3 or 4?
No, I think.
Is it 3?
I think it would be 3, right? And I will say, to provide a very mild glass of half full optimism for the Browns, the season remains still within reach. The division title, people get sideways with their record isn't going to be good. After this game, they go Steelers in Cleveland. I'm not sure where the game is. They get the Bengals. Then they say, you know, the divisional games are still in front of them. And by the way,
Steelers in Cleveland, at Bengals, at Patriots, home for the Lions.
So they, and you know, the Bengals or Ravens is going to have an extra strike in the loss column after this one too. Yep. So these things, you know, the teams within the division cannibalize each other. And I think the Browns are making the smart move here with Baker to say, listen, we're at home. Hopefully we can survive a struggling Broncos team and then be hopefully you get our main guys right for these back-to-back divisional games, which are much more important.
All right. Yeah, and you are right. This would be only 3 in a row losses for the Browns. All right. Tune in to Fox Thursday Night Football. You'll see win number 12. I actually feel good about this one. Actually, even though it's got down to a coin flip, I do like this. Let's bring in our guest. All right, I'm very excited for this, Shaq Martin. Our guests today are the newest members of the Extra Points family. They are both like Ben Simmons, but only in that they carry their phone with them at all times and give zero fucks, which is good. The hosts of Megan Fun of Sports, Megan Gailey and Megan Connolly. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, guys. Wow.
Thanks for having us. I think that is quite the comparison, like Ben Simmons. But I like the reason you gave. We give no fucks.
That's right. Zero. I mean, not even a half. You guys met, it's kind of an arranged marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
we
found out so much about you. If you listen to the podcast, you're both named Megan. You're both Irish, which is weird. I thought Megan Connolly, I would have pegged her for Latvian or something like that, but both Irish. And then there were like 5 other similarities, right?
Yeah, both of our moms are hospice nurses, so that's the most exciting. That's the most exciting thing we share in common, I think.
Nice.
And before that, they were labor and delivery nurses.
Yeah,
you know,
they say cradle to grave.
Right. Excellent. Well, I don't want to give anything away, but you should listen to your podcast, Megan Fun of Sports, on the Money Grab feed right here at the Extra Points Podcast Network. But one of you two, I don't want to spoil it, vomited on a basketball court after getting her braces tightened in middle school. Is that right?
Yeah, I vomited in my own bed the night I got engaged too. Really romantic.
I was
really
hoping
romantic.
You'd save that for episode 4-ish, but okay,
but,
that's out.
You know, like Ben Simmons, it's like, I want to bring all my baggage right up front. Yeah. You know, I want you to know the shit you're getting into.
Right.
But Gailey, explain what exactly that was in response to the will you marry me?
No, that was in response to mixing 7 different kinds of alcohol and smoking a weed pen inside. That's what it was.
Is that also
and she got her braces tightened.
That's right.
Is that also what happened at the middle school basketball game?
No. Middle school basketball was just braces and Tylenol on an empty stomach.
So now we know all the concoctions to stay away from. But
plenty more. Plenty more, too.
Megan Connolly, you worked, is it fair to say, for the Patriots, with the Patriots?
Yeah, it worked for the organization.
And so every week you are going to unleash a little tidbit about how the Patriots cheat, right?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I was mad at myself. It's like after we record these, you always have podcast regret. And I'm so mad I didn't bring up the fact that Belichick was bleeding all over his face on Sunday. Did anybody else notice that?
Well, no. He had his braces tightened like a pregame. You got to do at least 3 days before. Did he really? I didn't see this. I did see his,
yeah,
his
bleeding.
His complexion was different, but it looked like a really weird Dan Marino type tan. But that was blood, you're telling me?
Yeah, Sal was busy vomiting himself watching that fourth quarter.
That's right.
As a Cowboys fan.
Exactly.
So he couldn't take note of the blood.
Yeah.
I did see in the background, it was a Michael Myers sign that they'd made into Belichick's face into a Michael Myers mask. But right. This was like, they meant it kindly, I guess. It was a happy sign, and I did love that depiction of him.
Nice. Now, Megan Gailey, this is not going to sit well with our friend Dave, but
it works out perfectly. I love it already.
For me, but you, I'm getting word that you despise the Steelers and their fans. You
block
them.
I find them to be the worst fans in all of sports.
Wow.
Maybe.
Really?
Yeah, I think a prop is so annoying. Like, to bring a prop to someone else's stadium and wave it around. It's like, get your shit out of my face. And I honestly think a Steelers jersey makes everyone look ugly.
Nice. Really? I like this. I love this take. I really do.
I'm so sorry. And I've done comedy in Pittsburgh. Listen, I was in Pittsburgh when they were trying to find the Boston bomber. I've had some moments in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And I don't think fries on sandwiches are good. I think there's a lack of braces being tightened in that city. And it's just not, I don't like it.
You understand you're from Indiana, right?
Indianapolis. Indianapolis.
Are you sure you're in a position to be slinging arrows at anyone else in football America? And I have to retract my spiritual generosity that I felt a couple of moments ago. I was happy for your mom that she was getting some side work doing hospice stuff at Carson Wentz.
Come on.
And now I'm not happy for her. Now
but you know, I did.
What she
I
deserves with number two there.
I did ask her to slip him the vax while she's giving him his pain meds.
Nice. Excellent. Well, all right. I'm sure this will get worse and worse as the year rolls on with the Steelers fan. Megan Connolly, who is the worst fan base?
Oh, I think it really depends
right
who you
there.
Ask.
You guys are right up there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Patriots are up there. I think Eagles might be up there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Philly across the board.
Yeah, that Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl, they were nasty. I mean, they were loud, though. Passionate, you got to give it to them. But they're pretty nasty.
Yeah, I think like 20
years ago. They're always
mad.
Even when they win, they're mad.
Right. I think they hate the opposing team more than they love their own team. I don't know that there's any other city you could talk about and say that.
They were the only stadium with a jail in the basement. And they had a judge who I tried to interview, but then he had been fired for... You know, so something, he was doing some, I think it was like porn on the computer. Don't quote me on this. And so I love that even the judge.
He might still be in that jail. That was in the vet. He might just, people forgot to let him out.
That's right.
He was an Irishman. One of our finest.
You said
Patriots
something.
Patriots fans are up there though with worst fans. They definitely are. The Patriots fans. I mean, look, they win a lot, but I they don't know anything else. You
could say,
the new generation.
Mm-hmm. Martin, why? You have
the Patriots fans are they're insufferable. Like people say Philly fans, but like Philly fans, they haven't after they got the Super Bowl, sure it was loud for a little bit, but I don't see any Philly fans like still like, oh my God, Jalen Hurts is the guy. Like I think
they because they hate the other teams more than they love their own.
They also like to scare athletes out of their town. Like he ain't cut for our town. Like is that a good thing that you're doing? Is chasing stars out of town? Because they aren't emotionally right by your standards. Ben Simmons, that one makes sense. That's not on the Philly fans. Or maybe it is, as a matter of fact.
I was about to say, I feel like I'm partially endearing to a fan base holding their team accountable, hold the players accountable to an extent. But Patriots fans just were like, as soon as they would lose in one game in week 7, it's, oh, my God, Brady's over with. Belichick's got to go. And then, like,
right.
WEEI in general, just as a whole, like all of those people. Like,
well, I will say this, as obnoxious and despicable as some of these fan bases are, they are loyal to their teams. And Megan Gailey, I think it was you yesterday on the podcast, brought up the fact that it bothered you that your husband now,
yes.
It bothered you so much that I think you vomited on them. No, but it bothered you so much that he switched allegiances and it called into question as to whether or not he would cheat on you, right?
Yeah, I mean, my parents are in town and we went to breakfast with them this morning, and unprompted, my dad called my husband a front runner to his face.
Nice.
And so we just don't, it's like I've suffered through the Pacers never winning anything, and he just jumps with LeBron wherever he goes. And it's like, yeah, at some point I'm going to get old and he's going to leave me. That's what I think. That's what I imagine he will cheat on me and I will love him till the day I die. And it's very frightening.
And what did he say? How did he say that one is different than the other? Because I'd love to have heard his answer. Maybe we should have him on.
Well, he's like, I have allegiance to LeBron, but he didn't. When LeBron went to Miami, he was mad at him. So it's like, he hasn't even had allegiance to LeBron.
Right. Absolutely. Megan Connelly, you agree with this? I mean, you're recently married. Congratulations.
Thank you. My husband's from Boston, so he just doesn't get it. Like, there are times when I watch, my teams are like Northwestern, the White Sox, just not good. So there are times when I watch these games where I feel like one tear, just one, slide down my cheek. And I sit there and I look at him. I'm like, you don't get it. Like, you'll never get it. You don't know what I'm going through right now, because they've never been bad. So
that's,
I mean,
what
sometimes
you're
like,
about.
Oh, well,
that right there is what
we
kind of
get
about.
It. 2004. Like,
yeah, no, it's right. What Boston sports fans have become now is their first instinct after a big win is to reach out to other people to let them know, like, you hate us because you ain't us. Their first instinct is to trash talk, which I would suggest is doing fanning a wrong way. You should try to feel some joy. You should, your first thought should be to stick it to the losing side, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I think I'm going to be a good mom because I have such unconditional love for the Colts in a way that is delusional, right? That I'm like, even if my kid is the stupidest piece of shit, I'm going to love it. Because I just look at this Colts team and I go, gosh, what a bunch of angels.
Right. Where do you come down then, Gailey, on what Andrew Luck did 3 years or so? What was that? 2 years
you
ago?
Know,
3 years
when
ago?
It,
the eve of the season, he just walks out.
I was like, I was honestly fine with it. I totally was. I mean, it was like devastating, but I didn't fault him. He had his ass rocked more than any other quarterback. And I was disgusted with the Colts fans booing him when he, my brother and dad totally disagree. They hate him. But I felt for him and it's like, yeah, he went to Stanford. So you hillbillies want to boo him. He's smarter than you. And he's saying, I don't want my brain rocked into fucking scrambled eggs.
Wow.
So get your damn Karen haircut and calm down.
Oh, wow. I agree with you. Wow, that is some great fandom right there. I do think it could go another way when you likened it to raising a child and how much you're going to love the child. It could go the other way, and that the baby's crying for 3.5 hours and crapped its diaper, and you don't care in the world. You're still focused.
You're like, this. We could make the playoffs still.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. I am. I do. Yeah. When I smell shit, I do tend to look the other way. So
gotcha.
That's going to be difficult.
You said White Sox. So are you cool with, like, Cusack, what he did a week or two ago? Are you cool with when the White Sox are out that you go Cubs and vice versa? Or do you have to choose?
No. Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. I mean, if my life was on the line, I would not root for the Cubs under no circumstances. I would never root for the Cubs. When they were in the World Series, I was actively rooting against them. There's nothing I hate more than the Cubs and Cubs fans.
I hate
the Cubs. I will never, gun to my head, won't do it. Will not cheer for them.
Good for you. See, she's going to be a great mother too. It's unbelievable how this works out.
I think being a fan of, like, shitty teams, like, brings, like, shows that you, like, have good character, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we could easily jump ship at any point and we don't.
Right. Of course. Absolutely. Which Megan do you hate most? I'll start with you, Connelly. There's some sketchy ones.
I think I was ready to go. Is there a clear cut? Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Who'd you say?
Well, you guys already know. Go first.
I'm ready to say Meghan McCain.
Really?
Well, who else are you thinking?
Isn't there Megyn Kelly?
Okay.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly was up there for me.
Plus, she spells it with a Y.
I know. And Meghan McCain spells it with an H, so they're, we're already mad at them. Right. That's a bad 1-2 punch, those two.
Yeah.
That's a rough. Yeah. Fuck.
What about Fox? Screw her. No, I don't know. I don't know. No, she seems funny. I don't know.
Tilly's had some fun star turns.
Tilly, right. And then that's there's a good one. Yeah. All right. Well, it doesn't matter. You're the two Megans. You know, I was wondering if you could help us out here because we're a bunch of idiot guys. And I feel like we're sending the wrong message to Martin Weiss here, who is he's fast and furious. We rented some space here. We have shared office space. And Martin's already making time with the receptionist.
Oh, Lord.
Oh! Yeah.
So, hey! We love
like
making
time should be better defined. Because if you mean conversation as I walk past for a period of time,
There's texting and there's... we don't have to really get into it. But
well, my mom would say...
You don't talk to anybody else in the office.
She's got...
The other receptionist.
A receptionist has the keys, and that's a good person to make friends with. Even not on a romantic level. Okay. That's the person that can let you in, get you snacks. That's an important gal.
Right. I mean, but if she says she's going to the beach and he says, all right, when you dry off, here's my number. That's making time.
Was that your line?
That was his line.
It was after weeks of it wasn't like weeks.
We've been here 3 days.
It's literally week 7.
All right.
Week 7.
I guess it is week 7.
One.
I'm on Martin's side. I love it. I miss dating.
I think you go for it. Go for it, Martin. We've all been locked up for way too long. I think
please.
You gotta.
Martin,
gotta
will you hit on me? I'm married, but I just need some fun in my life. DM me.
You don't want that. Yeah, dry off after the beach.
I've been getting that too often.
Gailey's gonna have an affair with Marty Weiss preemptively to stick it to her husband because she has a fantasy that he's going to do the same.
That's right. Thank you.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Thank you.
Well, the it's great having you guys on. The podcast is called Megan Fun of Sports. I've received terrific feedback already, which means the over-under is 2.5 weeks before you branch off and start your own thing, or worse, take your talents to Barstool or somewhere fun like
No.
No, we're staying here. I mean, unless we get fired.
No. We might. There's no firing. I mean,
you know what would really be great is if you really want the full effect of this preemptive affair, do it. Mm-hmm. With your husband's favorite player, LeBron James. That would really get under his skin. You know, then...
Wow. I don't know if I want to do that to Savannah. I don't... I've told him, Mookie Betts, if he looks my way, I'm throwing him out of the car. My husband dead to me if Mookie even smiles my way. But I would have to get permission from Mookie's wife.
Okay, who's your most hated Mookie? I don't know.
I know multiple Mookies, and I like them all.
Okay, good.
You know multiple Mookies?
I know multiple Mookies.
That should be the first line on your Wikipedia page. That's something.
Megan making multiple Mookies. Yeah, I don't know. All right, we'll work on it. Megan Connolly, Megan Gailey, thanks for coming on. This has been great. I wish you all the luck in the world. Go Colts and go Patriots. I don't care. Our Cowboys already played.
Wow, that's big of you.
Yeah, go ahead. Win the whole rest of the way. Yeah,
how about Patriots cover the spread? That'd be
great. Yeah, well, they have
that'd be nice. They used to always.
Hey, Gailey, very quickly. I'm sorry.
No.
Bloomington or West Lafayette?
I mean, it pains me to say this. I know Bloomington is a better college town, but I had as much fun in Purdue as possible. Okay, I had a lot of fun there, but I had a lot of fun at IU
this weekend.
It's so fun. It'll be beautiful. The trees. Oh, my God.
Oh, we're exactly right, Gailey. The autumnal colors will be in full effect.
It's going to be beautiful.
Find a nice tree to vomit at and call it a day. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. There it is. Lovely, right? Megan making fun of sports. I love it.
I'm excited about it. Yeah, Gailey, Connolly, I don't know very well. I don't know Gailey very well either, but she's dynamite. I've been a fan of hers for a couple years.
Go listen. It's a great hour. And like I said, they just met, and they really pull it off, Martin. And I think they gave you some, I don't know, so-so advice. I guess you have to go forward with this.
I don't know, Sal, the way you painted the picture.
I painted it. I didn't use my strongest colors either when I painted that picture. There's a lot going on people don't know.
Yeah, I would say so.
But that's going to be its own podcast.
You pretty much sketched it out instead of filling all in, coloring inside the lines. But no, I'm excited for the Megans. We should have asked them who their favorite Megan was. And why it's Megan Thee Stallion.
All right, well, they've said each other. But yeah, no, I like, it's true. Kelly or McCain. It's really.
I couldn't tell, by the way, what Connelly thought. She was ready to critique the pickup line, "When you dry off, give me a call." She was like, "That was your line." I couldn't tell if.
I think she was for it. I think
she did. Okay.
I think
because,
so. I don't know.
Because after, if you know somebody, you have some rapport with them after a period of time, you can say something like that with a smile on your face and get away with it. But if I just walked up to her and the first thing I said is, "What are you doing this weekend?"
Yeah.
I think that's where she was going with. That's why I said it had been weeks.
Well, we should let the receptionist, Ann Gailey, who seemed interested as well, we should let them both know that you used to be 298 pounds.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
It's not something I'm ashamed
positive.
Of.
It's all positive. Listen,
I mean, a guy like that, to go up and then go down and then go up again and then go down,
you're
I'll
like
tell you what.
You're like an offensive lineman, you know, who just retired 6 months or so.
I used to be 298, too, like the 4 days ago. Down to 296. All right.
Harry's working to get there right now.
Little FanDuel fun before we sign off. The Seahawks. Think about these names. Seahawks, Steelers, Colts, Patriots, Eagles, Panthers, Bengals. Seahawks, Steelers, Colts, Patriots, Eagles, Panthers, Bengals. Do any of them stand out to you as by far the best or worst of that bunch?
I mean, can you turn your laptop around so I could read those? I can't keep all those teams' names
here,
in my head.
I'll write it down. All right. Seattle.
No.
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Indianapolis.
Okay.
The Patriots. So we have both Megan's teams represented.
Those are three decent teams right there.
The Eagles.
No.
The Panthers and the Bengals.
Oh, Bengals are the best of that group.
Bengals are the best.
Sure.
And is there a runaway worst? Seattle, Pittsburgh, Indy.
Seattle, certainly. Yeah.
Seattle.
And, okay. And I'm resentful of the Russell Wilson injury, as I've said before.
I know you are.
Because even with Russell Wilson, that is still the worst team on that list.
Okay. Martin?
I think the worst team might be some combination of Pittsburgh and Philly.
Oh, stop it. Why do you say dumb stuff?
But that's the best is the Bengals?
Yeah, the best is the Bengals by far.
It's more important to get my goat than it is to say something true. You don't think the Steelers are the worst of that group.
He's entitled to his opinion. Well, here's why no one's wrong or right. According to FanDuel, they have all these teams at 7.5 wins.
Well,
isn't that weird?
That's good news for the Steelers, right? That's up a game from where it was a couple of weeks.
That is good
ago.
News, but I haven't factored in if anyone's had a bye. I don't think so in this group.
Let me tell you something.
But the Bengals are, I don't want to say a foregone conclusion to get that seventh seed, but there's a lot of talk about them getting that playoff seed, and yet FanDuel only has them at
7.5
as a
for
less
the Bengals.
Than 500 team.
No, yeah. What is it about the Seahawks that makes them the worst team on this list?
A lack of talent overall, period. That's the end of it. And Pete Carroll is doing them no favors at this point either.
I don't know.
Bengals
not
at 7.5 is
yet.
Loco. Oh, they're done. The Seahawks are finished. They're not. What, you think is they're going to make a little playoff run
well, here's
when
the
Russ
thing.
Gets back? That's not going to happen.
I know you're saying they're in the NFC West, but you can make the same case. And this, I think, is why the Bengals number is so low. They have to play all those NFC West teams in addition to obviously the AFC North times two, whoever they haven't played already. So that's where the 7.5 comes in. That's a really tough one.
I'm fascinated by the number on that Bengals Ravens game. Is it 7?
6, I thought.
6.
Yeah.
Almost as fascinating as the Patriots only giving 7 to the Jets in Foxborough.
In a rematch, and they killed them, and Wilson had 4 interceptions. Yeah.
But the Patriots, to me, are the one that I have my doubts about Mac Jones having a pro arm. But that team still, you know, they could have won that game, obviously. They almost beat the Buccaneers, too. This is not some bum team, clearly. I know people are kind of throwing dirt on them right now. But, you know, the Bills loss, they have 2 games left with the Bills. And I am interested at least to see what happens in that first matchup. Do the Bills truck them, or can Belichick give Josh Allen some trouble? I suspect it's going to be the latter.
Interesting. But out of those 7 that I named, 4 of them are AFC teams, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, New England, and Cincinnati. You have to think one of them, the 7.5 projected win teams, is going to get that last seed, right?
This is exactly what we talked about a week ago.
So you which one is it?
I think it's going to be the Bengals.
Such a tough schedule.
But, listen, Pittsburgh, to throw some support behind the black and gold, they are in the bye now. If they come out, and it's a tall order, but it looks a little more realistic than it did a fortnight ago. If they beat Baker or Case or whoever it is in Cleveland, then they go Chicago and Detroit. They could be 6-3, and then they're getting close to that.
You already got beat up bad at home by the Bengals. Now you have to go to Cincinnati. I'm looking at
right.
I'm getting Cincinnati is the Ravens. They have the Browns twice. They have the Chiefs. They have the Chargers. They have the Raiders. A lot of good teams. They have
these are weird sort of pessimistic win totals. Now that you float it, because the Colts have what, 3 games left with the Texans and Jags, or just 2?
I think the Colts got a run in them though.
I'm with you. I think that defense is for real. The offensive line isn't all together, but Jonathan Taylor is rolling the last 2-3 mm-hmm. weeks here.
Nelson's supposed to come off IR soon.
Colts have some easy ones for sure. They're at San Francisco. That's the Sunday night game. And then they have the Titans at home. They're home for the Jets. They're home for the Jags. They're at the Texans. And they're at the Jags. And they're home for the Patriots. Those are their easiest games.
I mean, yeah, unless 2 fails them, which is a possibility that Wentz falls on his face, but he hasn't been bad of late.
If you go by how many games they'll be favored in, the 7.5 makes sense. Anyway, that jumped
out. Bengals one floors me.
I know. I knew that would. That's everyone's favorite team. Derrick Henry, -500 for most rushing yards. That is, I've never seen a number that's so high this early in the season, and it is still early. Not half the games have been played. -500. For most rushing yards. Also stood out at me. Dak 8-1 to have the most passing yards and 7-1 to have the most passing touchdowns. It's a damn good offense.
The latter makes more sense. I don't know about passing yards, just because when you're a dominant team, you tend to take your foot off the gas in second half.
Yeah, you heard him say it was a dominant team.
It is a dominant team, right? Yeah. Who, Marty, would you bet a limb? I ask this to Eddie Spaghetti and Sal. I say this to you. Is there any you have to wager a limb, and you can't say, well, none. I'm taking the Buccaneers, the Cardinals, the Rams, the Packers, and the
Cowboys.
You have to wager against them of those teams to beat the Buccaneers in January. Is there anyone that you would say, like, maybe that team would have a shot?
Because this is important. I don't want to give the wrong answer. I'm going to lose
Spaghetti
a
made
here.
The first decision. His smart decision was saying, like, I'm going to give away my left arm. And that's a smart move because it's his non-throwing shoulder and better to have only one hand and 2 feet.
I think so, too. I'd give up my right arm. But I would say the Cowboys, because then I'd be like, oh, my God, there are people. There's no bigger Cowboy fan there. He sacrificed his right arm.
So that's nice, right?
It would not be the Cowboys.
Yes, Joe. It wouldn't be the
– It would not.
Wouldn't be the Packers, would it?
I'd lean Packers, but just because of Mason Crosby after the last time we saw him was just so bad. But I think the Packers – been outside of week one,
Joe,
kind of sleeping under the radar.
Well, but they almost beat them.
I just want to throw this out there to the group. And Mike Vrabel had the best answer. He did say he would give up his man parts to win a Super Bowl. So I heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he's leaving it all on the table.
He gave up whatever part of the brain gets you in tune with clock management the other day. That's for sure.
I'd give my wiener if it meant. Maybe not just for one. I would try to hold out, and I would see if I could get, like, can I get a deal? I'll give you one wiener that has proven to be magical, in its ability to reproduce, in exchange for one Lombardi, one Stanley Cup, one Final Four appearance for the Pitt Panthers, and I don't even need any help with the Pitt Panthers. They're in the Final Four playoff.
Mark, you don't like
after they vanquished Clemson.
I just think Damashek's got a pretty high selling price. I don't know who's asking. Like, I don't know if that asking price is going to be the same.
Interesting.
Your bargaining chips.
Mark, if this whole thing with the receptionist wasn't happening, you'd offer your wiener too? Like, for
not a chance. There's not a chance.
All right.
I don't need mine anymore. It's over with already. You know, it's what's done is done.
Yeah.
See, well, most
they'd be doing like, the world like, a favor.
Urinate like through your ear? Like, how does this work? I don't know.
The cartilage area of the ear, like the earring area of the ear, potentially, maybe. I would.
But Sal, who's, I mean, is there any, it. I mean, that's the end of the story that we get sidetracked with all this other stuff. Oh, Stafford in LA. Are the Cowboys for real? It's going to be the Bucs, right?
I think everyone's beatable. We've seen that everyone's beatable, right?
It's 60 minutes in January. No matter what. It's like, oh, they could have lost that game. That's for 20 years our lament. Boy, Brady really could have lost that one. Boy, that's crazy that they survived that one.
You got to see. I mean, they're definitely deeper than anybody. I think that defense is a little suspect sometimes week to week. And look at the Browns. A lot of people had them go in the Super Bowl, and now they're a shell of themselves. They can't even be favored by more than
injuries
two.
And everything. Yeah. But I, the bottom line is, I thought that was – I know people were unimpressed with the Cowboys surviving against a mediocre Patriots team. I thought that was a great victory for them.
I did too. I don't know why. I would take that over an Eagles win or anything. I think because I knew I was going to do a dumb podcast with Simmons, and it was going to be 90 minutes of hell if I didn't. But
I still understand
really
why they just couldn't tackle CeeDee Lamb and kick the field goal. Like everybody else in overtime.
Isn't it great? We talked all week about Vegas. What is Vegas doing? Why are the Cowboys? They opened at 3.5. Oh, it went down a half a point. We're like, this is going to go to 6 against New England. Like, oh, they know. Oh, and then 3/4 through the game, like, oh, they somehow knew something. This is a close game. Yes, Belichick at home. What do we do? And then the Cowboys cover anyway in overtime. Football betting is great.
Well, the story about like the mojo of Belichick versus that, boy, the Cowboys, you know, the other shoe's going to drop eventually. We've seen it too many times. Mm-hmm. I thought the moment of that was clear was they put it on Trevon Diggs. It was on the safety who should have picked that ball, right?
Both. It was a little both.
Well, that ball was floating. What was he looking at?
Diggs took responsibility. He's going to overreact, and that's what makes him great, and that's what's going to be his demise a couple of times a year. But I think it was both.
That should have been broken up, period. For sure. That shouldn't have been, obviously, shouldn't have wound up that way, but they overcame. They go down the field.
That was it.
They end up winning it. I think that's a major game.
I was listening to Lemon Pepper, and you guys, what were you saying? You were saying, oh, the Patriots should have had it. They had the Cowboys outscored by 220 yards or something, including that 75-yard touchdown of Bourne,
the stats had the Cowboys win. Like, it's hard to say that it was really like the Cowboys like.
I guess
the
deserved
game
is the
yeah deserved, right. But it's like the Patriots at the end of the game had the ball and the score and it's like, bro, just get a first down and end this thing.
Dude.
Yeah. If Nelson Aguilar catches that ball in overtime,
I'm with you.
If they call the face mask in overtime.
That's what Belichick does to these fancy QBs. It's not a fluke that happens a ton when you're playing against Belichick.
But you know what he also does? He usually goes for it on 4. He's more confident. He's not confident with this team at all. They've had 4th down 31 times. I think it's 4th and 5 or less. He's gone for it 3 times. It's just not the same team. They're going to have to convert those to win some of these games for sure. They're just not that good or as good. That's why they're – FanDuel has him at 7.5.
You're right. And the other guy who better put his foot on the gas a little bit is your guy, McCarthy.
Mm.
All these old school coaches. Belichick's the one who's going to be the holdout, who's too proud to follow what the new guys are doing, what the Brandon Staley's of the world are doing.
I don't even know. I think they're all – I mean, time management-wise, I'm not impressed with a single one of them. I'm really not.
I can't wait to hear. Well, yeah, that's the bigger point. But I can't wait for Friday already so that we can get these picks in here to see who you got in the Ravens-Bengals game.
It's
a real good one. That's a major game in the AFC North standings, nay, the AFC period. I know I'm in the emerging minority here. I still don't think the Ravens. I don't know how they're doing it, what voodoo they're working. They'd be 5-1 now. But let's remember it. They should have lost to the Lions. That was a loss.
We'll talk about that. There's other games. There's about 3 or 4 games that are 10-point favorites or more. I think someone's going to get their eliminator pool just shoved in their face this week because there's too many gimmies. We got that. The Megans were delightful. Check that out. Megan Fun of Sports on the Money Grab feed at the Extra Points Podcast Network. And just a reminder out there, even though you may feel like underdogs, please remember, you're all my favorites. We'll be right back.